Australia has done well in the rooftop solar program, but a majority of these benefits have concentrated in houses rather than in apartments. Any Australian living in an apartment, shared roofs and shared decisions can lock you out of these benefits, with body corporates having found it difficult to adapt to the new possibilities provided by solar power. The Wire's Thomas Kudus asked Zaman Gorgi, Associate Professor in Renewable Energy, why Australia's rooftop solar boom has largely bypassed apartment residents.
The core point is that Australia's solar success has been built mostly around detached housing, as you mentioned. Apartment residents often face shared building barriers that detached house owners do not. The next stage is not about providing solar roofs. It is about making sure people in apartments can access the same benefit on fair terms. In other words, the detached houses, when you go to the detached house example, the person has got the full oversight and authority to install solar batteries, etc. But when you go to the apartments, there are so many barriers for an apartment dweller to be able to install, benefit from that bill relief or fair access.
Now, you argue that the barrier is the building, not the panels. What are the biggest structural or government hurdles that are stopping apartments from installing solar panels?
There are two things here. In the existing buildings, there are so many barriers installation-wise, as well as the kind of body corporate issues. So on top of that, retrofitting will be a kind of problem to consider in existing apartment. For example, if you are going to install EV charger, how do you want to install it? In every single garage or no, just as a shared one, and so on. So the existing buildings have got barriers for retrofitting. The new buildings that were what we mostly would like to see is that the previous practice shouldn't be followed again. So the best case is that to put something in place that actually requires the new building to have smart meters, to have these kind of barriers solved or addressed in the governance in advance. That's two things when it goes to the barriers that we say the problem is not about installing solar. We know solar works. The problem is how could we make sure that everyone benefits?
State programs in Victoria and New South Wales are finally offering rebates and grant schemes for apartment solar. How far do these incentives go toward fixing the problem?
Yeah, good question. As a context, as you mentioned, Victoria's current solar apartment is offering $2,800 per apartment, and the New South Wales $140,000 per building or complex. So this is what we have as a rebate for apartments or strata townhouses, apartments, units in general. What would be worth mentioning here is that rebates help, but they're not enough on their own. In apartment buildings, the friction is often feasibility studies, committee decisions, metering arrangements, switchboards upgrades, and legal and practical questions on how benefits are shared.
You say that rebates alone aren't enough. Just expand a little bit more on that.
Yes, exactly. The rebates first would help, but they're not enough, because the thing is, let's compare apple and apple, orange and orange. Just let's see. You have a kind of detached house. You get the rebate, you go, install your solar, battery, inverter, and done. You will have the monthly bills, and you have used the rebate in the best way. Okay, now let's go to the apartment. You have this rebate available, but you are an apartment, 1 out of 100, that you want to install solar. How about the 99 other people? Even if they all want to install solar on the whole rooftop, what are the governments? Who's going to benefit? How about the renters? Renters would be something that would absolutely need to be part of the answer as well, because if apartment solar only helps owner-occupiers, then the transition stays socially narrow. Shared building solar, community batteries, well-designed tariffs all can broaden access, but the design has to be deliberate so benefit can actually flow through.
Now, with most EV charging expected to happen at home, what risks do we face if apartment buildings remain slow to adopt solar and smart meter upgrades?
This is a good question about just what did they miss in practice. The very first thing is that actually it is at the bid stage, but it is worth mentioning. From 1st July 26, there is something called solar sharer offer. It's going to begin in New South Wales and South Australia and Southeast Queensland. And what is indicated there is that the offer, I just want to reiterate, it hasn't been finalized, but it is the offer that for New South Wales and some other areas, on top of my head, some areas from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., then some other areas from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., they will have free electricity. And then in Victoria, it is going to be practiced from October 26th and again at the proposal stage. What I'm just trying to flag at the very beginning is the apartments, the units, or any kind of houses. It is not about just going clean. If they don't have such a meter in place, such an upgrade, just put that discussion of EV and solar aside. Let's focus on this smart meter. And then if they are not having this in the system, they are going to be excluded from this free electricity.
Saman Gorgi, Associate Professor in Renewable Energy and Electrical Engineering at Deakin University, speaking to The Wire's Thomas Kutis.